God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Tonight we continue our pilgrimage, so to speak, through the Apostles' Creed. Tonight we'll be picking up the third article. I believe in the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, some may say, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's the whole article, and we'll be breaking this in half. Well, for tonight, we'll be talking about, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. But before we get into that, we need to first of all set the stage. Tonight, typically, we celebrate the Easter Vigil. And in the Holy Church, at least the early Holy Church, that was typically the time in which confirmations were done, baptisms were done, people were brought into the Christian Church at that time. Right before the great celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was a time of preparation for some of these students they had been studying for years. It wasn't uncommon for a confirmation to literally take years before one would actually become part of that Christian community. They wanted to spend a lot of time doing instruction and teaching the Christian faith. They wanted to make sure that the people really understood what was going on and whether they really truly wanted to be connected to this community of believers. You also have to remember in the early Christian church, for the first couple hundred years, being a Christian was also an open mark for you to be immediately killed or persecuted. Christianity was illegal for the first couple hundred years. So this day marked a great celebration for some of their faith, but also with a little bit of a hint, thinking, do I have the strength? Especially in the midst of knowing that any time my neighbor may not like me, he can report me to the authorities, and I would be thrown in prison or even killed for this faith. So yes, it was a joyous time, but there was also a little bit of a hint of a little bit unsure of things, what the future may bring, because now I am a Christian. Well, we go into the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. Martin Luther was very, very correct in describing this article as one of sanctification. And sanctification is basically the process of being made holy. Now, that doesn't mean that we all of a sudden we've become holy rollers. No, because we truly understand that as Christians, we're still sinners. We're holy, but not 100% holy. Luther even describes it as sort of being half holy. That means I sin the other half of the time. But basically, we're just trying to get this concept across that while we're still at this side of eternity, we're not going to be perfect. We're still sinners. We fall short of God's glory. So this article is very important. This article gives us this idea of how do we become holy? How do we become a Christian? And how do we maintain that Christian faith for the here and now, and then also for eternity? Henceforth, Luther describes this section as sanctification. It begins with, who else? The Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting to know there are many different types of spirit in today's world. The Bible even notes of different types of spirit, talks about the spirit of man. Talks about the heavenly spirits, even the evil spirits. But there's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one spirit that will make you holy. This is holy in God's terms, that is. Again, I don't want people to start rolling out of church here thinking, hey, we're a bunch of holy rollers now. We're perfect. We got it all made. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. We are imperfect. We have fallen short of God's glory, and we need that strength. That's why we have come together. And we need what the Holy Spirit provides, His holiness. We do remember that we worship a triune God, Father, who the act of creation is ascribed to, Son, the act of redemption, His death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and the Holy Spirit. The one who gives us this faith, creates this faith within us, and keeps us in this faith. This is how the Holy Spirit acts. with the rest of the Apostles' Creed of the third article. The Holy Spirit works through the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You see, when our lives finally get to that last point, after the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, then the work of the Holy Spirit is done. However, until that point, the Holy Spirit has a huge job to do. And that's to keep us in this faith. Why is it a huge job? Because basically, plain and simple, we're sinners. We're that rebellious sheep that likes to wander away. And it's the Holy Spirit's job that keeps tugging at us and trying to nurture us and trying to bring us back to His saving work. The Holy Spirit's got a real job to do. Some of us specialize in sinning. The Apostle Paul, writer of most of the New Testament, describes himself as the chief of sinners. And if that's how Paul describes himself, if we take a good look at our lives, what would we describe ourselves as? Well, fortunately, the Holy Spirit is God. Because if it was left to any one of us, we would fail miserably. But let's keep on moving here. The Spirit is the one who affects our salvation. And the way that the Spirit does is plain and simple, is through the communion of saints, the Christian church. The Spirit is the one who leads us to His holy congregation. The Spirit's the one who places us in this congregation. The Spirit's the one who proclaims God's Word to us in this congregation and brings us to Christ. Let me just double check here. Who's doing all the work? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit who's doing the work here. Notice you don't have that much to do. This is the Holy Spirit's job here. Which is very fortunate for us. Because if it was up to me, my sinful nature would want to kick in. My sinful nature is already kicking in. I'm starting to think a little bit more for tomorrow's worship services. I'm thinking, okay, I've got a 6:30 service tomorrow morning. That means I should be here. I usually like to get here an hour ahead of time. That's 5:30. That means I have at least a half an hour drive. That's 5 o'clock. That means I need to wake up about 4 o'clock so I could be ready to leave the house by 5 o'clock. And I'm going, I don't want to wake up at 4 o'clock. Let's cancel Easter. That's my sinful nature speaking here, okay? We are not canceling Easter. I will be here. And after a few pots of coffee, I may even be awake. But let me get on to our text here. I'm trying to show the relationship here and why it's not up to us, because if it was up to us, guess what? We would fail miserably because we are sinners. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need someone to continue to encourage us, to reach out to us. And the way the Holy Spirit works is through the Christian church. Now notice I keep saying Christian church, as the creed says. But you may be asking, well, what is the title of this building? The title of this building is Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. Is this a Christian church? Well, it depends. I bet you probably weren't expecting that as an answer. You're probably expecting me to say, of course it is! It is, always! No, it depends. You see, the Christian church is where the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered. When the saints, those who believe and trust, gather around the hearing of that gospel and those administration of that sacraments, there is the church. You see, the Christian church is made up of believers throughout all time and eternity, not just people who are members of a particular organization like Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. There may be some members who really don't believe. But don't worry, I can't look into your hearts and say, aha, we got one here. I'm not going to do that to you. I do not have that ability, nor do I want that ability. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's my job as pastor to proclaim God's word in its truth and purity. Why do I say that the community here is not the Christian church, because yes, we have sinners in our midst, we have hypocrites in our midst, and by the way, this building is not big enough to contain all the Christians throughout the world in time and eternity. So let's not get this confused. Sometimes we describe the difference as the visible church versus the invisible church. What we're referring here in the Creed is the concept of the invisible church, all Christians throughout time and eternity. Moving along here, that what makes this church special is not that it's a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, not that it has red brick, not that it has padded pews, or during the summertime it has air conditioning. What makes this church special is when the pastor proclaims God's word, the true gospel message. That gospel message being, yes, we have a Savior, Jesus the Christ, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And that faith receives this message and trusts this message. This is that gospel message, the forgiveness of sins. And I would talk more about it, but that's part of my Easter sermon for tomorrow. So if you're not coming tomorrow, you're just coming to the Easter Vigil, you can download the sermon. It should be available sometime Tuesday. And don't worry, the people on Easter will hear the message about, by the way, if you missed the first part of the Apostles' Creed of the third article, download the Easter Vigil sermon. But let me get back to my text here, or my concept. What we're talking about here now in reaching out with God's Word, that gospel message, that's what makes the Christian church, where the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered. Now, some people will say, but Pastor, you know, do I really need to be connected to a visible church to be part of the invisible church? Did you catch that? Do I need to be connected to the visible church to be part of the invisible church? And the answer is absolutely not. You do not have to be a member here of Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in West Chicago, Illinois, to be part of the invisible church. Okay? But now the real question is, are you connected to Christ? Are you in Christ? Is the Holy Spirit with you? Do you understand the forgiveness of sins through our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ? Most people sit there and say, yes, yes, that means I don't have to go to church. And I said, no, that isn't exactly what I meant. What I really mean is, once we understand the gospel message, once we understand the forgiveness of sins, Christians are sort of drawn to it like a magnet. We are drawn to where the gospel is preached in its truth and its purity. We want to hear the forgiveness of sins. We want to taste the forgiveness of sins through Christ's body and blood with the Lord's Supper. We want to see the forgiveness of sins applied, especially to children and infants, with water and God's Word. We want to teach other people about this wonderful message of the forgiveness of sins. Christians will be drawn to the gospel being preached and the sacraments being administered. What happens, however, if we're not drawn to it? That's sometimes the question I get asked from time to time. And the answer to that is, well, your human nature is kicking pretty strongly then, because the Holy Spirit's naturally going to start pulling you. You got to remember, we're not holy rollers. We're not perfect this side of heaven. I started out that way, and I need to end that way. Not until I'm with my Lord and Savior in heaven above, then I will be perfect. But while I'm still on this side of heaven, I have a struggle going on. That struggle that sits there and says, I really don't want the alarm clock to wake me up at 4 o'clock in the tomorrow morning, but it will, and I will get up. My sinful nature is struggling, but the Spirit is moving. I will be here for tomorrow morning, so don't worry. Easter will not be canceled. Likewise, for other Christians, as we sometimes don't want to be connected to the Christian church or to the physical, visible church, is because of our sinful human nature, or maybe because we've been hurt in the church. Maybe we've seen something done that we didn't like, or maybe something was done to us that we didn't like, and so we have that hurt. Can that occur? Unfortunately, yes. And the reason why is because we also are sinners. And sinners will commit other sins against other people, plain and simple. We don't like to talk about it, but within the church, we can fight very well. We can bicker very well. We can get angry very well, and we can sin against each other just as well as they sin outside the church. Isn't that wonderful? Again, you need to download tomorrow's sermon when we talk about in the Christian church, we have the forgiveness of sins. I need to bring that in here because we do have the forgiveness of sins. This is what makes the resurrection weekend so important. This is why the church celebrates the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we have fallen short of God's glory. We need that Redeemer, and we need someone to keep us in that faith, because left to ourselves, we would fall short of God's glory. We would screw the whole thing up. So we need the Holy Spirit. Likewise, that's the Holy Spirit's job. You see, going back to the role of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do remember that, yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and all that work would be lost without the Holy Spirit. You see, it's through the Holy Spirit that the work of Christ is appropriated and enjoyed. It's God who causes that word to go forth and to be proclaimed. It's God who gives us His Holy Spirit so that we can bring this treasure home and appropriate, and He appropriates that to us. Basically, He is the one who applies it to us. So we believe in the Holy Spirit, the one who makes me holy. We believe in the Holy Christian Church, that is, all believers throughout time and eternity. And we rejoice with the work of the Holy Spirit, who begets and bears every Christian throughout the world with the Word of God, and is the Holy Spirit that illuminates and inflames our hearts so that they can grasp and accept, cling on to, and persevere in that beautiful gospel message. When the women went to the tomb, they found it empty. Yes, we have a Lord and Savior, one who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. This is what makes Christianity unique. God dies for sinners. The shepherd dies for the sheep, as we were talking about earlier in our worship service. Where the Holy Spirit did not cause the word to be preached, where the Holy Spirit did not convert hearts, there is no grace, and all is lost. Therefore, there is no Christian church where Christ is not proclaimed. There is no Christian church where there is no Holy Spirit. And this is why the Christian church is where the gospel is preached, where the sacraments are administered. And I hope and pray for the rest of, as God allows, Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in West Chicago to continue, that you will always have a faithful pastor that will proclaim the gospel message and administer the sacraments, so that the Christian church, what little bit of it we have here, will continue to grow and flourish under the direction of the Holy Spirit. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.